Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com. This is the Scala Report, globally transforming digital signage for the workspace. But right now, we're most concerned about the workspaces in China. Chris has been watching this story for some time because he has business on the mainland and is much in conversation with elements of his organization and others who are not only on the mainland, but in interested places outside of China, watching inside. We hear stories again and again of China closing its windows, pulling up the drawbridges, turning its back. China has gone through this periodically over the last several hundred years, maybe several thousand years, but I've been reading about the last several hundred, where China will turn its back on the United Kingdom in the early part of the 19th century, or the U.S. in the latter part of the 19th century. Again and again, there's this pattern of opening up and trade and closing down and no trade. In fact, suspecting foreigners, outsiders. Chris, a very good day to you. Your reports about factory owners and their panic, Chinese factory owners and their panic over the last months, very accurate, anticipating where we are in China. Now the news story is property values are plunging. It's called politely deflation. And also that property is at the center of the storm for manufacturers, for the whole economy. Is there any good news coming out of your contacts in China, or does it continue to be spiraling down? Good day to you.
Good day, John. You continue to see more stories in mainstream press about the constriction of the property market in China with no signs of abatement. You're seeing more of the large developers running into problems, and you're seeing the government in China now starting to move against some of those developers with charges against some of the leaders of those developers. I think what's going to be very interesting to watch next week in China is one of the national holiday weeks called Golden Week. So you'll have a lot of Chinese going back home from the coastal manufacturing cities to the interior. It will be very interesting to see how many of those employees come back to work in the coastal facilities. And if you're looking for signs of unrest or signs of dissatisfaction, there may be signs of that publicly next week. We'll wait and see.
Chris is pointing to a headline in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. China Evergrande share suspended after reports of founder's disappearance. The chairman of Evergrande, at the center of the beginning of the collapse of the Chinese development industry, he has now been reported placed under police surveillance, according to media reports in China. So we're looking at another solution offered by the central government, this time to punish those responsible for the enormous real estate bubble, which, of course, would not exist except for the central government. Chris, a detail about China now and integration with the world community. What happens in China doesn't stay in China. Is deflation coming our way? Is this going to force a crisis in other continents where you do business?
John, I think the key thing to watch will be to see if China makes any moves on Taiwan. If China were to take any action against Taiwan, you could put the global economy into a tailspin very, very quickly because of the dependence on semiconductor. China being sick economically and having these challenges will certainly have an impact. But I think globally, we're seeing more signs in various markets of stagflation, the inflation continuing, but the returns and the profitabilities of companies starting to be challenged. So you're into this morass that maybe could be another lost decade on a global basis economically.
Europe, you've been traveling. You are still traveling in Europe. And I mention, as I've learned in these last days, that it is 1 year since the sabotage, destruction, explosion, Nord Stream 1 and 2. No solution is offered. However, the war in Ukraine, some fashion connected to the destruction of Nord Stream 2, that's an alternative reality that isn't going to happen. Russia and Germany working together to develop their economies. However, the report from the battlefield is stalemate, stagnation, wait till next year. And the dissent is now loud. Poland to Ukraine, very loud. The president of Poland is using the metaphor of a drowning man to talk about Ukraine and how a drowning man is dangerous because he or she can pull you down with the rescuer can be pulled down. Not good talk, but we've seen also hesitation in Congress. Let's stay in Europe right now. Your experience, the slowdown in Europe that is a consequence of raising interest rates, and the ECB is saying rates are going to continue to rise until inflation is solved. Are you seeing the slowdown as you travel across several European countries?
Absolutely, John. You're seeing the impact of high energy costs hitting the German manufacturing sector and kind of the deindustrialization risk in Germany. You're seeing high interest costs starting to impact automobile sales and housing sales across Europe. So in general, you're seeing this malaise in Europe economically, where while the consumer has not stopped spending, the consumer is clearly under pressure and worried about their cost of energy this winter. As the war drags on, you're seeing more economies, Poland, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, say, is this really worth it? And whether those countries have the mettle or the resolve to continue the support or seek to try to end the war and get back to business as a whole.
Coming home to the United States to business as a whole, we have two developing stories that are not fresh, but they're in the journal and they're highlighted across the country. One, San Diego. Buses, white buses with no markings on them, continue to pull into San Diego, and off come what appear to be men of military age from all around the world. We're told they're migrants from the border. This is San Diego. San Diego only has 950 beds, I learned, for the homeless. Good heavens. New York has tens of thousands of those places for the homeless, and it still needs more. So San Diego is at the beginning of this phenomenon, but it's not yet another city that's not prepared for the surge at the border. I connect this to a story from Philadelphia, which you and I both know well because you travel there often, and I grew up in Philadelphia. A rampage or some sort of bizarre behavior by young people, we're told, pilfering, plundering, looting stores in central Philadelphia. And these stores are connected to chains that are announcing closings across the country. This, of course, points to the inability of these blue cities to defend themselves. Is that a business matter? Does that affect the economy, Chris, or is this public order question having to do with individual cities? Can you tell? Does it show up in our GDP?
It certainly does show up in the GDP. John, if you saw the announcement in the overnight of Target closing 9 stores due to theft, you have in many cities, both in the U.S. and now starting to observe in Europe as well, where disorder due to young people acting irresponsibly, these flash mobs of retail theft or general chaos and destruction are becoming more and more widespread. You're seeing retailers saying, if we can't operate stores because we're losing so much product out the front door in shoplifting and theft, we'll simply close them. So it's absolutely having an effect on GDP, and it's also having an effect on all shoppers because those costs are passed along to the consumers, just further spiraling inflation up.
According to the reports from Philadelphia, I'm following the reporting in the Wall Street Journal editorial, the stores had security guards. But as we have the same story in San Francisco and L.A., the security guards are not empowered to intervene. They're there for show. But once the depredations begin, they're ordered to back off, to not interfere. It's bizarre. I understand why companies don't want to get involved in litigation in the event that there's violence. But it would appear that these stores are completely vulnerable to this behavior being reproduced anywhere. Is that your measure, Chris? Your franchise customers are entirely vulnerable all the time.
Yeah, John, there's nothing that you can do when 200, 300, 400 people show up at a retail location with the intent to do bad things. You've seen that in California. You've seen that on the East Coast. The end question is, at what point do district attorneys change their policies and start prosecuting people, have a more law and order approach towards these issues and more support for the police to stop them? We simply get the society that we allow to occur. And in this case, until we take a harder stand on these criminal activities, they're only going to propagate further and further.
Final 30 seconds. There is an article in the Journal talking about a company in California going to a formal four-day week. You tell me Europe has got that topped. What is the weekday in London, for example?
The weekday in London is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the office, Monday and Friday work from home. And you're seeing now the impact in retailers in the famous British pub environment of businesses having more and more trouble with cash flow because 40% of their week, they don't have customers coming into the city.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.